Hello, and welcome to the My Control Room podcast, the only podcast featuring tips, discussion, and commentary on control room ergonomics, human-machine interfaces, alarm management, and much, much more. This podcast is brought to you by User-Centered Design Services, and now, President of User-Centered Design Services, Ian Nimmo.
Hello, this is Ian Nimmo from User-Centered Design Services. I'm the President and CEO of the company. We're a human factor ergonomic company that specializes in industrial control rooms, human machine interface, alarm management, and dealing with fatigue and also workload of operators. Welcome to the podcast. Today we hope you get some value out of our discussion, and we always encourage you to call us and talk to us about these topics. Often we get asked, what is the difference between individual and organizational accidents? Well, first of all, individual accidents, these are the most frequent. They're not our main concern, although obviously we always want to try and prevent them. Our regulators, such as OSHA, have provided a lot of guidance through programs such as process safety management to address personal injury. And there's actually many companies out there actually excel in this area, but they actually fail in process safety management. A specific person or group is often the agent and the victim of an accident. So organizational accidents, they're comparatively rare, thank heavens, but they're often catastrophic. They occur within complex modern systems. Unfortunately, with a computer came some baggage, I guess you could say, in that they cause a breakdown between people and the actual computer systems themselves. But as we talk about organizational accidents, it's not just the computer that contributes to this. It's multiple causes. They involve people operating at different levels in their respective companies. Technology innovations has radically altered the relationship between systems and the human elements. So organizational accidents are difficult events to understand, and they're difficult to control. They occur very rarely, but are hard to predict or foresee. Very few organizations can survive the fallout from a major accident of this kind. And if you look at things like the BP Texas City, it costs millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars, as you start looking at the end figures for what's lost and what's actually damaged during those type of incidents. They're unacceptable in terms of their human, environmental and commercial cost. Texas City cost 17 lives. Piper Alpha cost 167 lives. And Chernobyl, of course, was a major disaster. And again, we look at Bhopal as another example of accidents that are just unacceptable and we have to prevent. There's nothing accidental about the precursors nor the conditions that actually created these accidents. The difficulty lies in finding the appropriate level of description. So organizations are dauntingly diverse, and what you'll find is there's no two the same. They involve a variety of systems in widely differing locations. Each accident has its very own individual pattern and cause and effect. The level of description seems to defy generalization and implies that we clearly need to investigate more deeply into some common underlying structure and process to find the right level of description. All organizational accidents entail the breach of barriers and safeguards that separate damaging and injuries hazards from vulnerable people and or assets, collectively termed losses. This is in sharp contrast to individual accidents, where such defences are often either inadequate or lacking. So by what means are defences breached? Well, we think about human actions that can breach them, technical and organisational factors. They're governed by two processes, production and protection. So what we look at is we look at these defences and we try to find where there's holes or small holes in them. Unfortunately, the holes don't appear all the time. They appear during a startup, they appear during a shutdown, they appear during a product change. And so they're not always there. So you may look at one particular moment in time and everything looks solid. But then something happens, there's an interaction with people like during a startup, and basically you create a hole in the defence system. So the hazards associated with the production process expose people and assets to danger. All organisational accidents associated with production require various forms of protection to intervene between the local hazards and their possible victims and lost assets. While the productive aspects of all organisations are fairly well understood, the production functions are both more varied and more subtle. We often look at this and we see that as time goes by, people become complacent, and eventually the defences or the learning they had from an accident gets lost. And we call this the unrocked boat syndrome. When the boat's not rocking, everybody's happy, they're comfortable, they don't see the risk. But when the sea turns on us and we start seeing big waves, people are not as are more aware of the risks around them. And that's when we start having these major accidents, is when this unrocked boat syndrome comes into play. What we have to do is we have to trade off protection as against improved production. So improvements in protection are implemented after a bad event. The main reason for the additional protection is to prevent a repetition of an accident. So let's consider, back in the days of coal mining, we had a major accident because the lighting source that miners were using was just a candlelight. And obviously the candlelight caused an explosion. And after a lot of miners were killed, we came up with the Davy lamp, which was, again, a lamp that would allow to burn but not cause an explosion. So, again, we always see sometimes the protection coming in after a major accident. So a lengthy period without a serious accident can lead to a steady erosion of protection as production demands increase. It's easy to forget to fear things that rarely happen. So our goals is often growth, profit, market share, and simply increase in production without the corresponding provision of new or extended defences will also erode away the available safety margin. And this is this balance we have to have between how much more production and how much added safety we're going to add to the situation. We reserve the term protection for the general goal of ensuring the safety of people and assets, and we will use the term defences to refer to the various means by which the goal can be achieved. All defences are designed to serve one or more of the following functions: to create understanding and awareness of the local hazards, to give clear guidance on how to operate safely, to provide alarms and warnings when danger is imminent, and then to restore the system to a safe state if an abnormal situation happens. All defences are designed to serve one or more functions and to interpose safety barriers between the hazard and the potential losses, to contain and eliminate the hazards should they escape this barrier, and then to provide a means of escape and rescue should the hazard containment fail. So that gives us a bit better picture of what the role of defences is. So implicit in the ordering of this list is the idea of defences in depth, successive layers of protection, one behind the other, each guarding against the possible breakdown of the one in front of it. So when understanding awareness of procedural guidances fails to keep potential victims away from the hazards, alarms and warnings alert them to the imminent danger and direct the system controllers or the engineered safety features to restore the system to a safe state. So should this not be achieved, physical barriers stand between the potential losses and the hazards. Other defences act to contain and eliminate those hazards. So should all these prior defences fail, then escape and rescue measures are brought into play.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you would like more information on UCDS, Ian Nimmo, and the rest of his team, please visit mycontrolroom.com.